Welcome to the Pet Loss Companion. I'm Ken Dolan Del Vecchio. I'm here with my friend and co-author, Nancy Saxton Lopez. And this is a program that we do live every Thursday from 6 to about 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. And that's available on a whole bunch of different replay, video, and audio outlets, including Apple and Audible and Spotify. And it is a way for us to expand the reach of a book that we wrote a few years back called The Pet Loss Companion, Healing Advice from Family Therapists Who Lead Pet Loss Groups. And one of the things that we do, and we're doing it today, is we read letters from audience members. And we read the letters, and then we talk a little bit about the story that the letters tell, that the audience members tell us, and give some thoughts and recommendations. And if you would like to send us a letter of your own, you can reach me at kenddv@gmail.com. You can reach Nancy at nsaxtonlopez@csmpc.com. And this information that I'm sharing in the beginning is all within the description that's attached to the program, wherever you may find it. And also, you could just tell us that you'd like to have a particular guest on the program. Mm-hmm. Maybe you recommend a guest who is not you. Some people recommend themselves. That's fine. We're always interested in hearing who might be a good person to join us and share some thoughts and their expertise. Mm-hmm. And you can also tell us that you'd like us to talk about a particular topic and that maybe we haven't addressed or we haven't addressed in a really thorough way. And so we're happy to hear from you. And if you mm-hmm. write to us, also recognize that you can tell us that you want us to not share your letter. You can say, this is totally private. I don't want you to share it. We're still going to write back to you. One or both of us will write back to you. And also, if you tell us that we can share it, we will also share it on our Substack, which is where we post the correspondence that we receive and the photographs. And that's been really helpful for many people as well. Mm-hmm. So you can support our program in a number of ways. One of the ways is to become a subscriber on the Substack. It's the cost is $5 a month or $50 a year. Some of the content, every now and then we'll put up content that is outside of the paywall, but most of it is part of the paywall because we are seeing this as something extra that we're delivering. You can send us a gift through Venmo or PayPal or a monthly subscription. And also, this program is a friend of Dakin Humane Society, which is based in Springfield, Massachusetts. If you're local to where I am, you would know about Dakin. They do all kinds of things that are helpful for people and their animal companions. And then they're also a very large shelter and adoption program. But one of the things they do is they sponsor a cost-free Zoom pet loss support group that I facilitate once a month. The next one will be on May 14th. It's on the second Tuesday of every month, and it runs 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. There's a link to the RSVP page in the description. And if you're thinking of coming to join us, please do sign up as soon as you know you will, because we put a cap on it. We have a number of people who attend, and it's interesting actually that they come from all over the country and all over the world, which is fine. It brings a lot of different perspectives to the conversation. Please consider subscribing on YouTube if you haven't already. That helps to raise the visibility of the program, makes it more easily accessible to people who may benefit from it. And that's always something that we appreciate a lot. And finally, we'd like you to know that we have an affiliate relationship with a business called Bereave. And Bereave makes these very well-crafted granite memorial plaques. And in the photograph, you can see that it would be the kind of thing that you might put at a gravesite or at a memorial garden for your deceased animal family member, or maybe you want to just put it inside where you keep mementos. And we ask them to show us and give us an example before we decided that we would engage in an affiliate partnership. And it is really something. It's a heavy piece of granite.
It's heavy.
The engraving is beautiful. And so if you purchase this, You're also giving a little measure of support to our program as well. And so, Nancy, you want to?
Yes, we have two stories tonight. And the first that I'm going to read is Leslie, who lost her beloved Rusty. And Ken's going to share, I think it's Kyo, right? Is that how you say
Kyo.
It?
Yeah.
Kyo. Yeah. Okay. And, you know, like all of our stories, they're very heartfelt. It's so important to write all this out because I think it is very cathartic. And it's very cathartic also to hear it on the podcast. And that also helps others. It's always about our wonderful relationships with these amazing companions that just don't live long enough.
Yeah.
So here is the story of Leslie and Rusty.
This is my Rusty. Name is,
oh, he's so cute. Such a cutie with his little toys, little stuffed animal. My name is Leslie, and on March 21st, 2024, we lost our loving baby, 10-year-old Cocker Spaniel named Rusty. He was rescued from our local Humane Society around Christmas time, 2019. He was a blessing and loving, adorable comfort to me and vice versa. He was plagued with health issues that finally caught up to him. He was a quiet soul, and he was the sweetest little guy I've ever owned. There had been other pets that I lost in my life, but none of their deaths affected me as hard as Rusty's. Taking him to the vet was difficult for us financially, but we did the best we could to keep him healthy and safe. He started to lose his eyesight a couple weeks ago, then everything quickly started to shut down. He wanted to be held. And then he died quietly in my arms as I was stroking his fur and telling him it was okay for him to go if he wanted to. I told him I loved him. Then laying there on the bed holding him in silence, he left us. I checked his breathing a lot for about 5 minutes or more. I turned him over and that is when I knew he was gone. The devastation I feel is beyond anything I have ever felt in my life. Plus, I feel guilty like something we overlooked happened that might have killed him. I have been assured over and over again that it was just his time. How do I heal? How do I quit feeling guilty? How do I move on? Please help me. And you know, Ken, these are the questions we always get and always see. I want to say, too, about, you know, it's really wonderful to rescue these animals, but unfortunately, a lot of them are plagued with health issues. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of courage, right, to go and take one home when all of a sudden there are health issues, which, as she's saying, as Leslie's saying, is very hard because it's financially difficult sometimes, right? But they gave Rusty a wonderful life.
Yeah, and it also sounds like it's a strange thing to say, but a wonderful death, because she was holding him, she was embracing him when he died, and that's undoubtedly the best way to go when someone who loves you is holding you. And she was talking with him, and she was telling him that she loved him, and she was telling him that it was okay for him to go, and she was really sensing that he was leaving. And I mean, it's a beautiful story in many ways. And, you know, as you said, the questions are
always the same.
The first thing I would say is you just have to repeat them a million times, the same questions.
How do I heal? How do I get through this?
Until they kind of exhaust you.
Yeah.
Because these are questions that, for the most part, you can give an answer to. How do I heal? Well, you just take one step at a time. You do everything you can to soothe yourself. You make sure that you're doing the basics, like getting out of bed in the morning and showering and
trying to eat healthy, sleep well.
Yeah, doing whatever your responsibilities are that are required, whether they are going to work or they're taking care of loved ones or whatever. I mean, you just kind of put one foot in front of the other and keep going the best you can. And sometimes you're not going to be able to keep going. You're going to have crying jags, and you're going to feel down, and you're going to feel low energy and confused and all the things we do when we're grieving. But you just kind of do the best you can at taking care of yourself and keeping to as healthy a routine as you can maintain. And how do I quit feeling guilty? Wow. I mean, people will be telling you, there's no reason to feel guilty. We all know that there's no reason for you to feel guilty, but we also know that that's
very common,
just common. It's typical. It's what people experience. And over time, one thing you can try to do is just recognize when you're feeling guilty and try to let it pass. Don't try to hold on to it. Don't try to push it away too fast.
Just be in it and then move on. Just
let it kind of pass through you. Mm-hmm. And hopefully just sharing your story,
writing some comments.
Recognizing that you're not alone in this very painful loss that you're having. One of the things you're telling us is that you've never felt a loss this powerfully before. We hear that all the time. And it often really takes people by surprise that they're...
You remember, Ken, when we would be in the group and people would come in and they'd be almost alarmed.
Yeah.
You know, and they would kind of look at us like, you know, I think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
And we would ask why they thought that. And they always said, because I've grieved more for this, my pet, my companion, than any other person. The only one we never heard was child.
Right.
So these are our children. And like Leslie said, I think part of it was, this was her soul dog. But he did have health issues. And you know how intimate that is, right? When you are taking care
always of an animal. Always observing really closely. You have to do things to give them medicines.
Take them to the vet. You know, be worried about finances. That's always a worry. But they did everything they possibly could to take care of that little boy.
And they adopted him in the middle of his life.
Yeah.
And so they don't know what came before. They don't know, but it's, I mean, you look at this picture and you know they gave him a very comfortable life.
Oh my goodness, that picture is wonderful. He's so sweet and he's with this little stuffed toy.
The stuffed toy looks like him.
Yes. So cute.
It's like a mini him. That's great.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful picture.
I mean, one of the things that some people would do is they would just hold that toy close as a memento.
Yeah.
They might
go to bed with it.
Go to bed with it. They might put it nearby because it's sort of a, it's almost like a totem.
That's right.
A remembrance of Rusty.
And we also know, unfortunately, that most of our animals, depending on our age, don't live long enough.
Yeah. We're going to outlive them. So we know that, we know that's the deal. And of course that's just the way it is. And it doesn't stop most of us from taking them into our lives.
No. This is interesting too, because we had, what was it? Angela that was on our podcast. And, you know, she said, you know, we help them not suffer anymore, but that's when our suffering begins.
Beautiful words. And we help end their suffering.
Right.
Knowing that our suffering will begin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to thank Leslie much.
Thank you, Leslie.
For this story. And now we'll go on to Vivian. And Vivian writes to us about her dog, Keo. I'm going to show some pictures. Keo is an Alaskan.
Oh, so cute.
Klee-Kai. Which is kind of like a little,
it's like a little husky-ish
Malamute.
Kind of
really unique looking. Let me show a few of the pictures.
Oh, he's so cute.
Vivian with Keo.
He's so cute. Little face.
So well, I'm going to leave this one up because I think it's really cute.
Beautiful.
As I read, hi, Ken and Nancy. I lost my beloved Keo 2 weeks ago to lung cancer and was recommended your podcast by a friend who also recently lost a dog to cancer. You guys repeatedly talk about how much it can help to write things down, so I'd like to try doing so. Feel free to share my story, and thank you for listening. I got Keo in 2013 as a senior in college and moved with him that summer to New York City. We spent 11 incredible years together in the big city, and he has been the one constant in my life as I've navigated career changes, 7 to 8 different apartments, roommates, boyfriends, times I had money and times I didn't. We were always together, and everyone knew us as a pair. As you can see, Keo is absolutely beautiful, and everywhere we went, people would stop me to ask about his breed, Alaskan Cliqué. Or just tell me how lucky I was. In addition to being so damn cute, he also had the best personality and was extremely smart. I swear he could understand me sometimes, the way he would listen to me with such focus and then do exactly what I wanted him to do or go where I wanted him to go. He was my soul dog without a doubt. I struggled with depression through the years, but he was my non-negotiable reason to keep going, to get out of bed that day. He gave me something to love as I took the time to learn how to love myself, maybe a never-ending journey. He had the cutest little personality quirks, like every day I would come home to find whatever shoes I wore the day before in his bed. One time I was late getting home to walk him and he pooped in my bathtub. I never trained him to do that. He had the most adorable little Audi belly button and one pink toe pad. He was just perfect in every way. In every which way. I took him to all his vet visits and did all my best to feed him high quality food and treats his entire life. Toward the end of 2023, he had started to develop this wheezing cough that would end in a hack, like something was in his throat. I made some changes that I thought might help, quitting smoking, buying a top of the line humidifier and air purifier, dusting more regularly, but he only seemed to cough more. I took him to the vet and they ordered x-rays and blood tests. It was mid-January when they found 2 small nodules in his lung x-ray, but told me they were too small to be causing his coughing. I didn't want to do a biopsy because of how invasive it would be, and they suggested an ultrasound instead to see if there was a primary site of cancer. They didn't schedule the ultrasound until 3 weeks later in February, which gave me the sense that things weren't so urgent. Even at his February 5th ultrasound, they didn't find any other tumors and only saw one lung nodule. He had normal blood work and was ruled out for fungal infections. While all this testing was happening with no answers, but also seemingly no huge concern or cause for concern, Keo was slowly getting worse. He had stopped wanting to eat his regular food and would only take wet food or broiled chicken by hand feeding. He would no longer go up the 2 full flights of stairs, then one, then any at all. He spent more and more of the day sleeping and seemed to ignore his toys. I should have taken all of this as the serious signs they were, but for some reason, during this period, I was foolishly optimistic. He had always been super healthy, and I just thought he would pull through. He was still happy to see me every morning, wagging his tail, wanting to go outside, gobbling down chicken. I didn't know for sure at this point that he had lung cancer or how fast it would soon spread. On February 22nd, he collapsed. I took him to the emergency vet where they informed me that his lungs were filled with fluid and he was in respiratory distress. They took new x-rays that night and revealed greater than 30 lung nodules, average 1.5 centimeter in diameter. They gave him Lasix and prednisone and kept him overnight in an oxygen chamber and were kind enough to pull up a bench for me to sleep where he could see me, as I told them my biggest fear was him dying alone. Thankfully, he responded well enough for me to take him home the next morning and look into at-home euthanasia options. Those few days were a nightmare. I was breaking down into sobs every 15 minutes and utterly panicking and rejecting the thought that I had to put my beloved boy down. I didn't think I would be able to, but the steroids only worked for a couple days that I had to put my, before he started to have more and more trouble breathing. Once I accepted that he was truly dying, it's like a flip switched in me. I called places and made the appointment for the following day and didn't cry again until he had passed. I found the strength to do what I felt previously unimaginable, but I knew he needed me. I understood that I was the only one who could do this now, and that I could do anything for him. It's been 2 weeks since I kissed him goodbye for the final time and carried his little body down to the vet's car. The hole he left in my heart, home, and life feels crippling at times. I try to work and see friends, and I do, but I spend so much time just holding his last toy and sobbing. It truly seems like a part of me is missing, and I still look for him in all his favorite spots. He was my home and my family, the one I started and ended every single day with for 11 years. I'm sorry. I thought we would have more time together. And while I knew I never would have been ready to lose him. It happened so quickly and unexpectedly. I just miss him so much. I'll be attending today's support group call shortly, but just wanted to share my story here as well. Thank you for your podcast. It's one of the only things that has comforted me in the moments that feel unbearable, Vivian.
You know, I want to talk about, because a lot of times we do this, and I want to normalize this, because after the fact, we always go back. It's so hard for us to work with the fact that our companion may be sick.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. You know, and, you know, there's a sense of denial that we go into. Many, many, many of us do that.
Yep.
And so, you know, I want to normalize that for Vivian, because she's saying, I should have known. I mean, he wasn't walking up the stairs so much. But it's not uncommon for us, because in our head, which is now anxious, right? We have a lot of anxiety, and say, he's going to get through. He's going to make it, right? Yeah. And then, unfortunately, then he collapsed, and then the whole thing unraveled to a euthanasia. So, I mean, it's hard. She doesn't talk about, and I don't know if she feels guilty about that, but she hasn't said that. Now, that's a possibility that she did. Maybe I should have taken him more rapidly. But I do think that she knew that she would need to end his suffering, right? When she got there, you know, she had stayed overnight with him.
It was like a switch.
Yeah. Switch went off. Right.
And she knew that that's what she had to do. And that's what she did. She mobilized and made that happen. And I also want to just emphasize that it is very typical to be very optimistic and to just not, you know, as you said, be in denial. And this is something that it actually was really beneficial for group members to hear and to talk about.
Yeah.
Because it's very much a part of many people's experiences, just normal part of, we've lived with our animal for all of their lives, and they've always, as she said, they've always pulled through, and a little bit of a problem with their breathing or whatever. Maybe they've got a respiratory infection, and maybe they've got the beginnings of cancer, but that can move very slowly. And she wasn't being told that it was advanced.
That it was going fast, right?
And the other thing I want to punctuate here is that she was forthright enough to tell us that she has struggled with depression, which so many of us have, and that the reason that she kept going was Keo.
That's right.
And we've heard that a lot of times too. And I always like to punctuate it when people mention depression, because it is so prevalent. And it's very important for people to be able to just say that, just the way that we would say that we have migraines or backaches or whatever.
It's not an uncommon thing for anxiety or depression for many of us.
Yeah.
And look with what he went through with her, right?
Yep.
The move, the career changes, 7-8 different apartments, roommates, boyfriends, money, no money. You know, they love us so unconditionally, and they are a constant in our life, no matter what's going on. They don't yell at us. They don't criticize us. They don't judge. They just love. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of the human-animal bond.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so hard when they
look. It's so hard. And it's also the end of an era when you've been through so much. Mm-hmm. It's the end of an era in your life. And it's so it's a very hard thing. And we want to thank Vivian so much. Also Leslie for sharing their stories. And I just want to show Keo's little face.
Oh, so cute. Both of these little
there's babies. Keo and there's Rusty.
Yeah, they're so cute. And, but we hope that both of these Leslie and Vivian are doing a little better. It's not uncommon that it takes a while. The journey of grief is very challenging.
It's up and down, two steps forward, back. And,
but you know, they both loved their companions and so much, and they both felt like, even though Leslie's saying, well, you know, I don't know how to go on, and Vivian saying, I feel like I'm missing something. I feel like part of my body is gone. I feel like, you know, but this is how this happens.
That's grief.
For us.
That's grief. Yeah.
That's whole of my heart, my home.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So also, we just want to remind you, if you haven't subscribed, it's always helpful to the program and helpful to others who may benefit if you would subscribe on YouTube. We always appreciate that.
Yeah,
so, Nancy, have a good night.
Thank you, Leslie, and thank you, Vivian.
Yep. Thank you both.
Yeah, take care.